Drama on One.
Sundays at 8 p.m.
rte.ie/drama on one.
Drama on One.
My name is Terry Coffey. I am a teacher at St. Nessens Community College here in Limerick. The question that I want to have a look at today is a question on the theme of deception. It is crucial in any question that you're doing on paper two to plan your answer very carefully before you start to write. I would begin by looking at the word deception itself and maybe jot down in your margin a number of different ways of saying deception. For example, equivocation, the difference between what is real and imagined, illusion and apparition. This will avoid repetition of the same word throughout your answer. Next, I would write down all the main ideas that I feel should be discussed in my answer. First of all, Duncan's misplaced trust. The trust that he placed in Cawdor and the trust that he placed in Macbeth and Lady Macbeth. Things in this play are rarely what they seem. Second of all, I would look at how Lady Macbeth and Macbeth deceive themselves. Third of all, I would look at how the witches deceive Macbeth and ask the question, which is probably the central question in the play, do they actually deceive Macbeth or does Macbeth deceive himself in over-relying on their prophecies? So those three headings will form the basis or the core of my answer. Next, I would go through each of the main points that I have planned out and make sure that I have some references and quotations from the play to back them up. Our first point will be how Duncan is so easily deceived by the Thane of Cawdor and later by Macbeth and Lady Macbeth. Duncan is guilty of misplaced trust. He says, after the execution of Cawdor, there's no art to find the mind's construction in the face. He was a man on whom I'd built an absolute trust. On entering Macbeth's castle, this castle hath a pleasant seat, the air nimbly and sweetly recommends itself unto our gentle senses. Lady Macbeth says, he that's coming must be provided for. She warns her husband, look like the innocent flower, but be the serpent under it. Macbeth declares that false face must hide what the false heart doth know. Following the murder, in his false outrage, he declares his silver skin laced with his golden blood. Banquo announces that he fights of treasonous malice. Throughout the opening scene of the play, it is very clear that deception and lack of trust is going to form a major part of it. When we've looked at how Duncan is deceived, it's important to note that unlike Duncan, his sons Malcolm and Donalbain are very slow to put their trust in anyone. And this is why he says there's daggers in men's smiles. That would form the basis of your opening paragraph. In paragraph two, move on and look at the idea of self-deception and how Lady Macbeth and Macbeth are both guilty of same. Again, I would look through and revise some of the quotes that would help me to back up this answer. When Lady Macbeth says, a little water clears us of this deed, she says, consider it not so deeply. These deeds must not be thought of after these ways, so it will make us mad. And ironically, all of these things come back to haunt her towards the end of the play. She deceives herself into thinking that she can stop up the access and passage to remorse. She wishes that her keen knife see not the wound it makes. Clearly, she is deceiving herself when we see her in the sleepwalking scenes, now haunted by the very blood that she thought she could get rid of. Macbeth, like Lady Macbeth, allows the witches to guide his life. He places all his trust on the same supernatural soliciting as his wife. As a result, he clings to their predictions. He bears a charmed life which must not yield to one of woman born. It is only when the messenger announces that the forest is moving towards Dunsinane does he suspect, finally, the equivocation of a fiend? Macbeth also deceives himself throughout the play. Examples of this would have been the appearance of the dagger, the appearance of the ghost at the banquet scene, the apparitions, and of course the witch's prophecies. He tells himself, "Thou art a dagger of the mind, a false creation." Banquo, ironically, warns him, after they meet the witches, "Beware the instrument of darkness. They win us with honest trifles to betray us in the deepest consequence." Foolishly, he thinks he can control them. Now that you've looked at how Macbeth and Lady Macbeth deceive themselves, it is important to ask the question, do the witches deceive Macbeth? Or is it Macbeth's self-deception that brings about his downfall? Is he deceived by the equivocating fiends? Macbeth interprets the witches' prophecies literally. The forest moves to Dunsinane on Malcolm's orders. The armed head on the battlements turns out to be Macbeth's own. The eight kings turn out to be Banquo's dynasty. So one has to ask themselves, was the truth there all the time? Every one of the witches' prophecies did come true. Who was deceiving whom? Did Macbeth deceive himself? Or do you still believe it was the witches' deception? We then move on to our conclusion. The pattern that most essays should form would be, say what you're going to say it, and then say what you've said. So in the conclusion, reiterate how deception has played an important role throughout the play. Deception also adds to the dramatic irony of the play. Not just the characters are surprised at the truth of the witch's revelations, so too are the audience, as they see Birnam Wood about to move towards Dunsinane. Macbeth is the most deceived character in the play. He believed his own eyes and ears, he put his faith in the powers of darkness, and this brings about his ultimate downfall.
Drama on One.
Sundays at 8 p.m.
rte.ie/drama on one.
Drama on One.